Well, I don't know if you are like me, but how many of you love it when things go perfect? When things go excellent, right? Like, there's no problems. Let me just say that has not been one of those days today in a lot of ways that we come in and we're like, the soundboard's not working. We're like, okay, how do we get it fixed? And then we're like, okay, none of the slides we had in the system are in there working. Okay, half my slides are missing. But the one thing that is always awesome to me is the fact that Jesus knows exactly what we need and exactly in our hour we need. And this morning, we're going to talk about living in the light. And last week, we talked about the freedom that Christ brings us. The fact that when we are in bondage to sin and self and really selfishness, it really controls a lot of our thoughts and feelings and emotions, right? I don't guarantee you how many of us, our emotions go up and down sometimes, right? And it's sometimes based on our kids, it's based on our relationships, it's based on the things around us. And what we find is that whatever is controlling our joy is really what we worship. So if we worship whatever is on Fox News or CNN, whichever one is yours, and if things are good or things are bad and it controls our joy and how we output, then that is really what we're worshiping. If we worship our slides going right and all, you know, hey, I spent time, that's really what I'm worshiping. And so this morning, I'm praying that you would join me in saying, God, what do you want out of me? You know, it's interesting that when you talk about the fruit of someone's life, it often comes out in the times of deepest desperation or when they're really backed up to a wall. When things aren't going good, that's where we see people's character in their heart. And do they love Jesus in just words, or is it in deeds and with everything they have? And church, I don't know about you, but I want to be a church that loves Jesus with everything. That when people see us, they're like, man, things are going rough for them. But guess what? Their hearts and minds aren't fixed on themselves. They're fixed on Jesus and others. That there's a world that needs to know the hope of Christ. And as Christians, we need to walk in that. And so, church, I'm praying this is going to be encouraging. Also, my wife is making sure that it's not 57 minutes like last week, okay? So don't worry. I know we have food downstairs to get to, so we will get to that. But let's take a look at this here. Naturally, my first slide is missing out of here. So we'll just go with this. If you have your bulletins, inserts, we're going to go with those. Our first point that we're going to see today is because of the gift of the cross, we're set free. We talked about that last week. But I don't think we could ever be reminded enough of where we were before Jesus. You know, in Romans 1, it lists all these sins and idolatry, debauchery, drunkenness, homosexuality, not listening to your parents, all of these things. And we look at the world and we say, look how screwed up they are, right? Does anyone ever do that? We look out there, but here's what he says. So were once you. Without Jesus, we're lost. But yet oftentimes I go and I look at the world and I say, God, don't they see what is right and what is wrong? And even in my kids, I hear them doing things and saying things. And guess what? They're a lot of times imitating me. You and I also get to represent Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs to know him. And the way that we live and the way we act does that. So church, let's stand up together and we're going to pray that all these verses are on here. But here's the cool thing. Dropping the Bible. Now we're not really doing good. Here we go. It's continuing on. Woo. All right. Yes. And the first slide does not have it on there. But guys, we believe that this is God's word. I don't have the saying up there right now, but this is God's word. And really, for me, God's of me, who I am, and what I need to. We'll read it, obey it, and share it with Jesus. See, it's good. You guys are discipling me, so good job. We're going to read this together, and we're just going to let Jesus speak to our hearts this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26, I'm going to read this, and there's some parts we'll read together. But it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in the keeping of this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you cannot do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But let's read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Lord Jesus, I pray that this morning and this moment, God, would you help us to be more conformed into your image? Lord, we've been talking about being transformed by you. Would you help us to be renewed and strengthened? And Lord, I just pray that today you might set some free, Lord, that they might realize the brokenness and fallenness in their lives and in my own life, Lord. And that, Jesus, would you help us to be a church that's set free, on fire for you, and passionate about reaching others with your good news. In your precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. So this morning, as we're in the book of Galatians, you know, we looked at Paul's life, and the first week we looked at Romans 6, and Paul's desperately aware of his brokenness and need for Christ. We looked at the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? And then in Romans 7, we looked last week, the fact that Paul is, he's given his heart to Christ, he's living for him, but now he's struggling with some of the same old things that he's always struggled with. How many of us have been there? Right, and he does the whole Dr. Seuss passage, right? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, I don't want to do. Oh, wretched man am I. And he goes through it. And then we looked at Romans 8:1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. What's interesting is Paul had a great background as both Jewish and of Roman origin. And so he has this whole knowledge with him. But in this church, he's talking to a group of churches who are new believers who don't have that Jewish background with them. They haven't been raised in the church or in the synagogue. They don't know all the rules. They don't know thine before thou always except for after thee. They don't know all these things. But what they know is Jesus has saved them and met them where they're at. And then there's this other group that comes in and says, no, 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 no. Here's all these laws that you need to follow. Here's all these things you need to add onto your faith. And they're going, well, what do we do? And Paul speaks to him and says, you need to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you need to build in and share the gospel with others. Church, I think it's so often for us to get caught up in church instead of a relationship with Jesus, isn't it? Things change, and there's whole books, who moved the goalpost, who changed all this and that. Because, why? Because the heart of man is only evil always. My best intentions, I don't like change. I don't like things that make me feel uncomfortable. But what Jesus hates more is people dying and going to hell without hearing the gospel. And so as I look at this, I'm convicted of how I live. And so first point we see today is when we live in the freedom of the light, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. First point that we're going to see here today is that because of the gift of the cross, we are set free. Now what I love in this passage here is Paul reminds them that they're free, but they're not to use their freedom for their own benefits. It's actually to proclaim Jesus Christ. Last night, we were blessed to go to a small group here in town, and we were there. What was awesome, besides Mark's ribs, those, if you've never had Mark Grossman's ribs, it was awesome, but used it for a biblical purpose. we were talking about the role of a priest. And the role of the priest was to proclaim God to others. Jesus calls us high priests, each one of us, that we are the body of Christ. We're a royal priesthood. Well, Jesus is the high priest, but we're a royal priesthood. Our mission as believers is to proclaim God to a world that needs to know him. And so he starts off here in the first two verses. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. See, Paul is realizing quickly that in our hearts, we can quickly make everything about us when really our lives are designed to be about Jesus. Our whole purpose and mission, if our church meetings is fulfill me, make sure that the worship is the songs I want and nothing goes wrong or the pastor Dan doesn't trip off the stage, of course you might like that, okay? Whatever it is, if it's not about Jesus, we are missing the point. You could have the most beautiful stained glass windows, but when there's people who are literally starving to death when we have the means to physically give it, or there's people who are dying with drug addiction, alcohol addictions, and yet we're afraid to say, oh, I can't tell them that's what I once was. Church, I had thought about this. What if when we did our introductions, we started off with saying, I'm so-and-so, and here's what Jesus Christ has saved me from. But we are called to be free from the law, but we are not to abuse this freedom. I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer last week. And in Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, he talks about the fact that cheap grace is really empty. It's not satisfying. It's saying, Jesus, I want the fire insurance, but Jesus, I don't want to fully submit and sell out and give you everything. But costly grace says, Jesus, you did so much for me. How could I do anything else but give you my all? And in doing so, love others. Now, this picture that's going to pop up here is probably one of the most painful things to me in my whole life. And so if you go to the next slide here, let's see. Yep, there we go. I hate weeds with a passion. Is anyone else there? I know the Nehemiah. You've never pulled a weed. Oh, yeah, you do. You do pull the weeds. Okay. He does. He does pull the weeds. But now, here's the thing. With the weeds, oftentimes I like taking my weed whacker and I just go through and I chop all the weeds down, right? Anyone else there? What happens? Yeah, the other thing that I like to do, and don't hate me for this, all right? I like to douse them with as many chemicals as I can just to kill them, right? And so here's what happens. If you come to our house right now, there's about a 2-foot section that goes from our garden section that all the grass is dead around it. There's a reason. I was just nuking the area. And guess what happened? The weeds grew back. What we need to do is actually dig out those weeds in our life, whatever they are, and get down to the root and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to have this. Maybe it's our brokenness, maybe it's our bitterness. But in Romans 6:1-2, we looked at this a few weeks ago. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Friends, first part in bearing fruit is going to be to rip out the dead parts in our life. The truth is that, as we go on the next slide, that God cares more about us loving our neighbors than he does about us winning trivial arguments. If you look on Facebook, you look on social media, a lot of what us can tend to do is if we disagree with someone, maybe it's a political statement, maybe it's just something that angers us, maybe it's a Pittsburgh Steelers sign, I don't know what it is, or Michigan, even worse, we tend to get upset. We tend to rally against it to one cause or another instead of saying, Lord Jesus, is the way that I'm representing you online or to other people, is it bringing you glory? See, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Amen. And in that, we know that there's hope and freedom. And Romans 5:5 tells us, and hope does not put to shame because God's love has been poured out in our into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what we find out here is that as God has worked in us and he roots out and he takes out the sin, he takes out the bitterness, and we yield before him, now what happens is, guess what? We are ready to be used by him. We talked about falling. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about trusting the Holy Spirit to help us get through. Now it's God saying, now it's time to get into action and do something, right? Each one of Paul's passages that we've looked at, there's been a negative and a positive. We're going to see today that God calls us to bear fruit for him. And so as we continue on, our second point we're going to look here, if we put that up, is that we are called to walk by the Spirit and not our flesh. We went over that last week, the fact that it's a daily process. You know, I think there's a reason why Paul reminds us so many times in Scripture of this, and they remind it is because we so quickly forget, don't we? How many of us have told our kids to do something, and like they walk back in the room like, well, what'd you tell me to do? Where they didn't hear, or wives, you tell us to go put something away, and then it doesn't happen. I think our walk with God is often the same as that. And so we're going to look here in verses 16 through 18. Paul gives us a clear picture as to how we can overcome. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit that which is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I think it's really interesting here is that so many people, you hear all these songs, my life is a highway, I'm going to drive it all night long, right? Or you listen to the old song, I can't get no satisfaction, right? It's all about me. It's all egocentric. And if we're not careful, the church can become all about me and what I need. Rather than when we come in here, we're coming in here saying, here's what Jesus has done in and through my life this week. Here's the people I got to pray with. And we sing these songs. We're singing as a body of believers who have had interactions with Jesus Christ, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week as we're filled by his word, we're filled by his Spirit, and we come back and we rejoice together. And then we also bring others that don't know him so they can sit at the feet of Jesus and know the freedom that you and I have experienced. Because if we have experienced that freedom, why wouldn't we want anyone else to have it? So when we are walking in the Spirit, we do not give in to temptations. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not going to ever sin. In fact, Peter warns in his writing, he says, dear children, I write you not that you were not going to sin, but when you do, know that there's an advocator on behalf of us that sits at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when we struggle and we fall, we know we can say, Jesus, here's where my heart and mind has been. But here's what happens. Because we're so filled with ourselves, we say, oh, I fell. There's no way Jesus can love me. Right? I talked about a few weeks ago. We go back to the Eeyore theology of doesn't matter anyways, right? And when really God's saying, I have so much more for you. And don't you know that you have work to do for me? Jesus doesn't need us, but he allows us to be part of his story, and he wants us to. Why? Because he calls us his children. I don't look at Nehemiah and say, Nehemiah, I really want you to be mediocre at best, right? No, I pray for my kids and say, I want you to do great things. And guess what? Jesus blows your mind. He says, you will do greater things than these. God's going to use the church to do greater things. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again. He healed those that were lame and ill. And he says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to empower you. I love John 1:5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Church, when we are set on fire for Jesus Christ, there's nothing in this world that can put it out. And I think part of it is because there's so much freedom at the cross. You talk about everyone fighting for freedoms in all different realms today. And so much of it really just has to do freedom to do whatever I want to do. This is saying freedom to live in the fact that Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. But guess what? It's not boring. Meg and I, our life has not been boring. Pastor Ken, has your life been boring following Jesus? No, I don't think so. There's crazy things that happen, and they come in your path, and maybe you start praying. If you really pray, God, would you show me someone that needs to know your truth today? Guess what? Jesus is going to do that. And then you have to be prepared and willing to step through those doors. And it might be getting real and saying, God, here's what my brokenness was that Jesus saved me from. And it might get uncomfortable at times. But you know what? It wasn't comfortable when Jesus went to that cross. And when he stood up there and he was spit on and he was called all sorts of names. And he said, Jesus, forgive them for they know not. Or Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So if we allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are not under the law, but under God's grace. You know, it's like people who experience the freedom, and there's a passage of scripture that says like a dog returning to his vomit. It's a gross analogy, right? But you see dogs, and they're just gross, okay? Like, I love my dog, and he wants to come up and give me kisses, and I'm like, I know what you've done. You know, like... Like, you were just next door licking the neighbor's butt. Like, I know. Their dog's butt. Okay, so anyways. But, sorry. Get that out of your mind. But we look at it, our faith is the same exact way. We go and we say, Jesus, thank you for the freedom. And you know what? I'm going to make this person pay because of what they've done to me. They don't balance. They don't jive. It doesn't make sense. We say, God, I want everyone to know you, but Lord, would you help my neighbor just move away, far away from me? God, I really don't like them. The other thing that we see is that living in the deeds of the darkness is contrary to the Spirit of God. If you want God to use me and you want God to use this church, which how many of us want God to use New Baltimore Community Church to reach people? We don't have time to sit on the fence and say, God, maybe down the road we'll get there. And one of the things that breaks my heart is when I was my best friend all the way from childhood, all the way on, and we've lost touch over the past really 8 to 10 years. But right out of high school, he was in the military, and he was getting drunk every weekend and filling himself up with as many women as he could. And I sat down with him and said, I love you so much that I need to speak to you, my friend. The way that you're leading your life is not going to be satisfying, and God has more for you. And he had called me one day and said, Dan, I've attempted suicide multiple times because this isn't filling me with joy. And the truth of it is, I said, don't you know God has more for you? He goes, oh, I totally know God has more for me. But right now I'm going to live for myself, and in a few years down the road, I'm going to give my heart over to Christ. And I know he wants me to speak to other people. I know he has a calling on my life, but right now I'm just not there. Wow. To my knowledge, at this point, he still has not made that decision. If you are waiting for a better time to surrender things in your life that you're struggling with to Jesus, good chance you're never going to make that decision unless you say, God, today's the day that I give this over to you. So living in the deeds of the darkness are contrary to the Spirit of God. And I know this passage has to deal with finances and money, but I love Matthew 6:24. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And while I realize this is a principle of money, it also reflects our heart. You can't say, God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to serve the world. And really, no one sees what I'm doing, so it is okay. No one sees the way I treat my wife at home. No one sees the way I treat my kids. No one sees me stealing just a little bit of money from work or things because no one really knows. But yet, Jesus is clear. You can't serve two masters. Either we serve Jesus or we don't. Listen, there's things in the Bible that are hard. Would you agree with that? But man, when Jesus talks about our lives and how much he cares about us, there's always grace and mercy. There's nothing outside of God's grace and mercy that he can't heal and fix. But when Jesus talks about these things, and in this next section here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, it says the acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, meaning any sex outside of marriage, impurity. Well, Jesus says that if we have lust after a woman, that we've committed adultery. It's in our heart, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy and drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some of these are hard, but here's why. These are all bondage things. They don't bring you joy or satisfaction. They don't bring you peace. They make you and I feel like if you have sin in your life, you feel like you can't be used by God, and you're like, God, I don't feel you. That's why David would have Psalms when he was sinning with Bathsheba, where he said, God, I don't see you anymore. I don't feel you. I don't hear you. But I remember the days of old when you were with me, and it returns joy back to my soul. Maybe today's the day that joy returns back to your soul, and you say, Jesus, I'm walking in freedom. It doesn't matter what you come through these doors with. Jesus wants to set you free today. And so I love this quote from Tozer. He says, if you do not yield and honor the Holy Spirit, your life will not show forth the blessed fruit of the Spirit. Again, we want to be used by him, don't we, church? We want to see Jesus spread to Alliance and Kent and Akron and New Baltimore and Cuyahoga Falls and all these areas because Jesus died for them. The acts of the flesh are obvious. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, we see that. But in verse 21 of this, those living in darkness will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is a hard thing, but these aren't people who struggle and fall. Listen, we're all going to struggle and fall, and we need to be quick to repent. David was a man after God's own heart because he was quick to say, God, I messed up. But it's when you get to the point where you say, God, I don't care what you say. I know what you're calling me to do, but Lord, keep that to yourself. This is my life. I'm going to choose. That's where we get in danger. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, as I just had up, says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirits and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you're wondering if what you're doing is right or wrong, man, seek God's word on it. Seek his face. Can I tell you, Jesus is always loving and kind. How many of us have been saved by things that we are ashamed of, right? Okay, oh, two of you guys. All right, good. We need to work on this, all right? We might need to pray for revival, but we do need to pray for that. But I would say is, how many of you have been saved by things you're ashamed of? And yet we think, God, you can't possibly deal with this. God knows everything you've ever done, and he knew it when he was upon that cross and he bore it for us. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We're going to give an account of our actions someday to Jesus. And here's the great thing. Those that are in Christ Jesus, when the Father looks at us, you know who he sees? He sees his Son. We are freely justified in Jesus Christ. But that means that those who give their hearts to Christ, that they live for him, that they surrender to him, and it's a daily transformation of our mind. And then we get off track. I love when Pastor Ken talked about the narrow road a few months back, because the truth is, he says, it's still a road, right? And so sometimes we fall and we think, well, no way God's going to love me now. No, get back on the road. When my kids are learning to ride a bike and they fall over, I don't say, well, probably shouldn't do that again, right? Now, there's things I've told them that with, but with riding a bike, I get back on. Christian life, get back on. Paul is reminding them that the fact of life of self-fulfillment and indulgence is one that leads them to destruction, but God has so much more for them. His Spirit is sufficient for all that they need. Amen? The Spirit is sufficient for us. Our last point is when we keep in step with the Spirit, we produce fruit that honors God. One of my favorite people in the whole world is Jim Garber. He was a worship pastor with me and at times a senior pastor with me at my last church. And as Jim would preach, he would often say, I just want to serve Jesus. I just want to have a heart that honors God. How many of us know that that's not our natural tendency, to have a heart that wants to serve God? You listen, you could teach Sunday school, you can come to church, you can do everything, and get one of the hardest things ever is getting your kids ready. So moms, major props on that. And getting them to church, and you could feed the homeless, you could go and help out at Haven Arrest. But if you don't do it because you love God and others, it means nothing. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What he's telling this church, remember, they are against Judaizers who are trying to enforce laws on them. And Paul is saying, listen, you want the world to notice something different. I'm going to tell you there's something that there's no law against. No one's going to get mad at you for loving people. No, your boss is not going to get mad at you for working harder than anyone else and helping your coworkers. And you think about this. Are you a peacemaker? When you hear words of gossip or slander, what's our first inclination to do? Tell others, right? Did you hear this? Did you hear? Man, did you hear what Ken did? You know, right? And we go through it, and we do this. But God says we're to have peace and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, meaning the fact that once you're a Christian, you'll say, I'm so much better than that person. Instead, we say, you know what? I was just where you were. And can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? Do you see the difference there? But it says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. See, it's easy for this stuff to creep into the church, but we need to be careful with that. It says, when we are exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit, we are reflecting the heart of God in Christ Jesus, and there is no condemnation. You really want to walk in freedom? Jesus sets us free, but then you walk in his Spirit. Oh! It's freedom. And I remember sharing the gospel with a boy in Canton. I got to lead an after-school program, and the other people we're working with, they weren't Christians, but they said, hey, we need someone to teach Bible lessons because we get a grant if you do that. So will you come in and you just take these kids in the public school and you just share with them a Bible story, do whatever you want, and then we'll go. And so, like, then people would just leave the room and I'd have like 12 kids there. Probably not safe practice, okay? But so I was there, and I remember this one boy, Joseph, prayed and he gave his life to Jesus. And he came back and said, wait a minute, so if I give my heart to Jesus, he removes all my sin from me, all my shame from me, and I don't have to carry around the bad things I've done before. And this kid's in third grade. I said, that's right, Joseph. He goes, who would ever not want that? And that struck me so much because that is the freedom in Christ. It's one thing to know that you're forgiven or hear about it, but it's another thing to experience freedom. Church, we want to see the city radically change in this area. Well, let's walk in freedom. Let's, when we have disagreements with one another, let's come together and be fellow burden bearers for the sake of the gospel. In verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh and the passion of their desires. We need to remember that daily. Write that on your mirrors. Write that wherever in front of your computer, in front of your phone, whatever it is. And then when we fall, remember who Jesus is. Remember his character. And church, that's who we're supposed to emulate. We're not supposed to emulate the world. We're supposed to emulate Jesus. And Jesus says, and here's what we see in 1 John 1:9. John tells us this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Church, we're supposed to be those royal body of priesthood that is going around and emulating this to others. We have a newness of life in the Spirit, and we will continue to walk in Him, trust Him. And the Spirit-filled believer is not conceited, but realize that the Spirit of God is sufficient for them. As we get ready to close here this morning, I think I was under 57 minutes, but we'll find out when my wife tells me or Ken. But here's what I want us to realize. The Lord has so much more for us, and there's more work to be done in New Baltimore Community Church. Amen. This is just the beginning of seeing lives change and hearts change. And it takes us stepping back and saying, God, I'm sick of making church about what I want it to be about, but I want it to be about You. And I want the people that You want to be a part of the church to be a part of it. And Lord, that might mean that I need to go apologize to someone I've wronged or offended. Oh, how many of us, that sounds fun, right? Hey, kids, I'm going to go and talk to people I've offended today. Like, they'd be like, Dad, you don't have enough days in a year for that, right? But if it means Jesus gets the glory, I'm going to do it. If I'm living in sin, whether it's sex outside of a marriage or it's whatever it is, I'm going to do whatever steps I need to today to rectify it because Jesus is just worth it. If my speech and attitude is not conducive of Jesus Christ, I'm going to say, Lord, what do You want from me? I'm going to get a friend and say, hey, Bob, can you pray for me? I'm struggling with anger towards this person. Would you, not in a gossip way, but will you hold me accountable in the way that I do things? Not because we're adding laws like the Judaizers were, because Bob wants me to walk in freedom in Jesus, and that's what we want for each other. And then lastly, don't forget Jesus is graceful and merciful. And repentance and change and freedom can start today. So as the worship team comes up, I'm just going to pray for us. And we don't know if the computer's going to work or not. But we do know is Jesus works. And so if you need prayer, you need to get things right. If you've offended someone in this room and you need to get right with them before God, go and talk to them and pray with one another. And church, let us be used by Jesus. So Lord, I pray that as we sing this final song, or songs, that we would be reminded and moved. Lord, I know that there's lots of things we can talk about or go through, but the truth of the matter is none of it matters if You're not in the midst of it. Lord, I think of the heart of worship and that song and says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it when it's all about You. Lord, my life sometimes doesn't always reflect that, and I know out of my anger or pride or bitterness or envy, all the things You call us not to do, it separates from that. But Lord, You call us to bear fruit. Lord, and that others would see it and be turned to You as we reflect You. So Lord, would You touch hearts? And Jesus, I pray if there's someone in this room that has never given their heart to You and they say, you know what? I've lived with the shame and guilt for so many years. But today, Jesus, I want to give You my heart. I want to surrender to You. Lord, me, move in their hearts. If that's you today, I just want to encourage you. You can pray after me. Just repeat this. The prayer doesn't save you, but the dedication and saying, Jesus Christ, what Jesus has done upon the cross for you and I and freely offers, it is His blood that atones for our sins that saves us. So you can repeat this after me and say, dear Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. I admit that I've done things that are wrong. God, I've broken Your covenant laws. I've lived for myself. But Jesus, I accept the gift of salvation You give us upon the cross. I accept Your grace and mercy. And Jesus, now I ask You to come in my heart and make me a new person. And I give You complete control of my life, Lord, that I might bear fruit for You, Jesus. In Your precious name, amen. If that's you, or if you just need prayer, I encourage you, come up as we close these songs. And let's just pray for one another and encourage one another.